Go ahead and be turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. How are we doing? To kind of get us started tonight, I want to get some feedback about how you guys felt about what we started seeing on Sunday. We're going to finish it up this Sunday, God willing. But just a quick response to what we started watching on Sunday. The title obviously was Battle for the Bible. Just very succinct, you know, one phrase or one sentence. Yes.
One phrase. Okay. Well, I guess it's just like a lot of different things historically that we don't know about. It's important for us to know the history of what it took to preserve what we have today.
Okay. In other words, what struck you from what you saw? Anybody? Come on. This is supposed to be the interactive session of the lesson.
Very historically accurate.
Okay. Anybody else? Hang on. I'll come back to you.
It just made me appreciate the fact that I can openly read my Bible and I have it in book form, you know, other media.
Okay.
I found it convicting that they were willing to sacrifice their lives to make sure that everyone heard God's word.
Okay.
That was very inspiring.
Okay. Is there anything new you learned that you didn't know before that you saw?
I found it ironic that there was a Martin Luther King fighting. Martin Luther? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. But I meant the same name in there. And what, were they related?
No. Okay.
Martin Luther was a German monk. Martin Luther King was African American. That just.
No descendants.
Okay, anybody else? Is there anything you learned for the first time on Sunday? One of the things that struck me was I knew when they captured Tyndale, I thought they killed him immediately. I had no idea that they kept him in captivity for over 500 days without the scriptures. That really struck me. That, wow, he really suffered before they finally, you know, burnt him at the stake. That was what you were going to say. Okay. Anybody else?
I learned to appreciate the Bible more because I know, like, for me, like, I lost one. I was like, oh, man, I could just go buy another one. But it's like back in the day, they couldn't really do that.
I was fascinated. I really wanted to finish it that day. I can't wait this Sunday.
I was tempted to let it go the whole hour, but the guys, we got to be sensitive of the guys watching the little babies. Because they're stuck back there the whole time. And so I didn't want to do that to them. But the thought went through my mind. I said, you know, let's just run. I said, nah, I can't do that. Those guys are going to call me up afterwards.
Well, it was fairly apparent to me who was behind all that opposition. It's like amazing to me the extent that Satan was willing to go to stop the word from being translated into a language everybody could understand. That it was definitely not Satan's idea to have that done.
And inspired me as to how much courage it takes sometimes and how much suffering you might have to face to stand up and make sure the right thing happens.
Anybody else?
I was amazed that I think it said only a couple of months after his death it was legal. The Bible was legalized. That was amazing.
Yeah, that's where the story picks up this Sunday from Henry the Eighth. And, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, what he said right there as they were burning him up in front of the Lord, open the king's eyes or whatever, you know, it did come true. Because shortly after that, that's where we're going to pick up this Sunday. You know, I don't want to give it away. All this stuff about the Church of England and all that stuff and all the different kings and queens that came afterwards. And to the point of where, you know, the Puritans came over to America. Because believe it or not, the way the Bible was written and how the English Bible came about does have a bearing on how we practice Christianity in this country today. And you're going to see it on Sunday in terms of how, obviously, you Puritans came over here with the scriptures. And at that time, it was the King James Version. And then, you know, all the way now to what we have today. But I really hope it was very helpful. Because I can't help but think about, like a lot of you have already said, the courage and the determination of so many men and women who were willing to go the extra mile to make sure that we have this today. And it's not something we can take for granted. You know, it's we live in an amazing times where, you know, you and I, we have so many versions. Somebody said, you know, you can lose one and go buy another one tomorrow. I mean, very quickly, the same day. We have it in all kinds of English versions now. And we can't take that for granted. Because it's not too long ago. I don't know about you. 600, 700 years is not a long time. It's really not a long time to realize that, you know, back in the first century and throughout the centuries, for the most part, if you wanted to hear the word of God, you had to be at church. You know, because they didn't have this. And if anything, in the first century, they preached from the Old Testament. And today, you and I have an incredible opportunity to have our own copy. You can have it electronically now, you know. And some of you have it on our phones and, you know, on iPods and iPads and all kinds of pads, you know. And it's just amazing to see the amount of resources when it comes to the scriptures that we have at our disposal. And the whole point of this is I hope that what we're going to talk about tonight and also on Sunday, by the time we're done, it will give you a totally different perspective of this book that is God's Word that you and I have the privilege to be able to read on a daily basis. And to be able to practice it. As we speak, in many countries on this earth, they cannot even openly carry this in the open. If you walk around the streets of Iraq, you will get arrested for holding on to this. Somebody's going to pull you aside and say, you know, come with us. It's not legal. And to think that, you know, back then, what these guys were fighting for, they were considered heretics. For wanting to translate the book from Latin to English. And you saw everything they had to go through to make sure that we now have this. And so all I'm saying is that we can't take this book for granted. That we have such an incredible privilege because God has revealed himself to us. And that's why, believe it or not, I honestly believe that of most of the people that I've ever lived, we in this generation, we have no excuse whatsoever. None. There's not going to be, well, you know, we didn't get a chance to hear the word of God. Oh yeah, we heard it so many times. We have it. And so we are without excuse compared to what some of those guys had to go through. Amen? Amen. So tonight we're going to continue talking about the word of God. And I've called it Loving the Word. I'm going to put this mic down and turn this one back on, please. Okay, we're talking about the number one bestseller. Here's some basic things about the scriptures that hopefully you know about already. It was written over a span of 1600 years. Again, I think sometimes we read the book and we think, oh yeah, these guys all sat down and put it down at the same time. Uh-uh. The span is about 1600 years. And it's amazing how, you know, something that's written that long in terms of the span is very consistent and very accurate. You know, some people want to say, well, this guy sat down and trying to get their stories to jive. No, that was not what happened. The Bible spans 40 generations. Again, that's a very long time. It was written by 40 different people from every walk of life. I mean, if you think about it, Moses was a political leader trained in the universities of Egypt. Peter was a fisherman. Amos was a herdsman. Joshua was a military general. Nehemiah, cupbearer to the king of Persia. Daniel, prime minister in the courts of Babylon. Luke, a doctor. Solomon, a philosopher and a king. Matthew, a tax collector. Paul, a rabbi and a tent maker. I mean, the list goes on in terms of just all the different authors that wrote this stuff down. It was written in different places and different times. It was written on three continents: Asia, Africa, and Europe. Sorry, America, it wasn't written in America. Okay? Not the original. I say that because sometimes we think, oh yeah, everything revolves around us. Not the word of God. It was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. Okay, these are just some basic stuff. The Old Testament was translated into Greek around 250 years before Christ. Now, I like this part. It's very fascinating. Between 1950 and 1960, 3,000 Bible translations were at work. I mean, during that period, I mean, the pace of translations just intensified. By the end of 1993, the whole Bible had been translated into 337 languages. 2,062 languages have translations of at least one book of the Bible. That's awesome. Again, this was what those guys died for. So that you and I do not have to depend, quote unquote, on the church or on the preacher to know what God's word says. Amen? Amen. Now let's talk about cherishing the word. Luke chapter 10. You know the story? In verse 38, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I love this passage. You know, we got to make sure that we're not busy doing the Lord's things or doing the Lord's bidding that we forget to listen to Jesus. That we forget to listen to God. Martha was distracted, the Bible tells us here. Mary chose to sit down and listen at the feet of Jesus with the rest of the group. Martha is busy in another part of the house. And back then they had really one room homes. Everything took place in one room for the most part. Okay? So when you think about this, I don't want you to think about your house or your apartment where you have different compartments. It wasn't like that at all. It was like in one section, Jesus was right there seated, teaching, and everybody's seated, and Martha is on one corner trying to make preparations. And she said, hey, Lord, tell her to help me out. And it's amazing to me what Jesus said. He says, No. You are distracted by many things. She has chosen what is better, and it's not going to be taken away from her. I mean, think about what it must have been like to be present when Jesus walked this earth. To have to sit down and listen to him. I often wonder what his voice sounded like. Remember, back then they didn't have any microphones, no amplifiers, nothing. And in so many places, the Bible will tell us he's talking to crowds of people. I mean, can you imagine what his voice must have sounded like? And, you know, I often wonder what his gestures were like. Because I think sometimes we read the scriptures and we just think, oh yeah, it was just this monotone, boring person. I'm sorry, you're not going to sit there listening to somebody boring all day. Jesus was an incredible speaker. Probably the best speaker of all time. And you can just imagine, here he is, he's teaching, and Mary's thinking, you know what, I'm going to camp over here. I'm going to just sit, just keep going, Lord. She forgot about the preparations. The food was not important. You see, we got to be careful that we also don't get distracted by the things of this life. That we don't have time to sit down and listen to the scriptures. Amen. You and I know that we talk to God in prayer. And he talks back to us through his word. Are you with me? That's why it's important that we take time out to sit down on a daily basis to look into it. Okay? Satan doesn't care that you have a Bible. Satan doesn't care that you have tons of them. But he doesn't want you to read them. And he doesn't want you to practice what it says. That's what the devil is after. Are you with me? But you see, we got to make sure that, you know, like Martha, we are not distracted. But that we take the time to listen to God. You know what it says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 6? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Do you hunger for the word of God? Amen? You know, in Hosea 4, verse 6, I'm not going to turn there because of time. It simply talks about how God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But you see, when you and I know our Bibles, we are not going to be destroyed. When you and I are reading our Bibles for ourselves, we know what it says. Are you with me? So we are not easily deceived. You know, I was talking to a young man earlier this week. He was talking to me about how he had gone to some youth camp. And he heard the preacher, he's a minister, talking about, yeah, it's okay when you're now engaged, you can sleep together. And the young man goes, wait a second. That's not in the Bible. If anything, what I know in the Bible is that, you know what? You don't sleep with somebody until you get married to them. And obviously, he never went back. And I bring that up to say, you know what? People say all kinds of things. And they use the Bible to even back it up sometimes. But you see, we got to make sure that we know the scriptures for ourselves. We got to make sure that we're men and women of the word, that we know what the Bible teaches. And that way we are not going to be deceived. Amen? Amen. Look in John chapter 12, a passage we're very familiar with. Again, this is Jesus speaking. In John chapter 12, Jesus says, as for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is what the Father has told me to say. Folks, there's going to be a final examination. Okay? That's not Richard talking, that's Jesus talking. He says, you know what? I didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but to save it. He says, there's going to be a judge at the very end. You and I are going to be judged by Jesus' words, by God's words. Obviously, we have God's word in the scriptures. Amen? This is the reason I read my Bible. I don't read my Bible so that I can preach. I don't read my Bible so that I can say, you know what, I checked that off for today. I read my Bible because there's going to be a final examination. And, you know, and I've said this when I'll say it again. Whether you believe it or not, most of what I preach about is what I study in my Bible. It's not as if I have some kind of storage somewhere and I just pull this stuff out. It's stuff I read in my own Bible. Are you with me? I'm studying for my final examination. Now, as a preacher, I use it to help us after I've used it to help myself. But believe it or not, I preach to myself first before I get up and start preaching to others. Are you with me? But you see, we cannot read our Bibles because, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. Bible study for today, check. It shouldn't be that way. Are you with me? God gave us this book to help us to navigate through this life. And that's why a lot of times when I see non-Christians, my heart goes out to them. Because I don't see how people can live in this life without God. I don't know how they do it. I would go crazy if I didn't have the word of God. That you and I have this book, it guides us, it instructs us, it helps us. When we fall, it picks us up. It encourages us, it rebukes us, it corrects us. But there's going to be a final exam. And I don't know about you. I don't plan on flunking that exam. Okay? You can flunk any other kind of exam on this earth. Alright? And chances are you get a chance to do it again. But this is one exam. There's not going to be a second chance. And God doesn't grade on a curve. It's not going to be A plus, B, B plus. Is it a pass or fail? And I'm sure from school, you remember, those are the hardest exams to pass. Pass, fail. Okay? Are you with me? But this is the final examination. And that's why we got to take this thing very, very seriously. You know, a lot of times, you know, I can tell when, you know, you see a Christian sometimes, they're struggling spiritually. 9 times out of 10, the problem is their walk with the Lord. And I will ask, so, bro, you know, how's your Bible study going? Well, I haven't read my Bible in 3 weeks. It's like, whoa, we got a problem. Houston, we got a problem. You see, because, again, if God is not feeding you, what are you feeding yourself? If you're not feeding on God's word, if we're not feeding on God's word, Satan is going to have a field day with you. Are you with me? This is our armor. We got to take it up and really protect it, because that final examination is coming up. We can't be too busy that we don't make the time to read God's word. Because I'm preparing for my finals. You're preparing for your finals too. And the amazing thing about that final is you don't know when the date is going to be. Okay? At least in this world, the test you take, or whether you're being evaluated at work, they'll give you a date and a time and a place. Monday, 9 o'clock at this time, you know. And so you get ready. Okay? This examination, I'm sorry, I couldn't tell you the day. All right? Is it going to be when Jesus comes back? Or, you know, once you die, that's it. It's over. Are you with me? Once you leave this earth, it's over. You can't study for this anymore. Amen? Amen. We got to take the word of God very, very seriously. Amen. We need to seek to know it and understand it. And, you know, get a recent English version. There's so many out there and that are good. And just get into it. Amen? Amen? You know how it is? How, you know, come January, some of us, you know, we make, and a lot of people, you know, we make quote unquote New Year's resolutions. And, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But a lot of us, you know, we decide, you know what, this year, I'm going to read through the entire Bible. And here we are, we're in August. August is almost over. Today is August 18th. I don't know about you. I don't know where this year has gone to. I mean, this year flew by very quickly. It's like I blinked and it's like we're in August. Everything else is a blur. But you see, we make all these resolutions about, okay, I'm going to read the Bible throughout this year. I'm going to get closer to God. But it's unfortunate how, as the weeks start, you know, things just fall by the wayside. It shouldn't be that way when it comes to the Word of God. Listen to this. This is the diary of the Bible. This is the Bible talking to us. January. A busy time for me. Most of the family decided to read me through this year. They kept me busy for the first 2 weeks. I'm now forgotten. February. My owner used me for a few minutes this last week. He had an argument and was checking references. March. This is the Bible talking now. Grandpa visited us. He kept me on his lap for an hour, reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13. April, I had a busy day. My owner was appointed a leader of something and used me. I got to go to church the first time this year, Easter Sunday. May, I have a few grass stains on my pages. Had some early spring flowers pressed in me. June, I look like a scrapbook. They have stuffed me full of clippings. One of the girls got married. July. They put me in a suitcase today. I guess we're off on a vacation. I wish I could stay at home, and I will have to stay in this thing for a month. August. Still in the suitcase. September. Back home again. And in my old place. I have lots of company. 2 true stories, quote unquote, and 4 funny books, quote unquote, are on top of me. I wish I could be read as much as they are. October. They used me a little today. One of them is sick. Right now I'm all shined up and in the center of the table. I think the preacher is coming. November, back in my old place. December, they are getting ready for Christmas. I'll be covered under wrapping papers and packages. It shouldn't be that way. Okay? I hope that the Bible is something that we crack open very, very often. You know, I like to recommend on a daily basis to make sure that, we're drawing close to God and that we're learning from what it says. You know, right now, I'm sure you've been watching the news. There's a famine going on the Horn of Africa where a lot of kids are dying. Parents are walking days and miles just to get their kids medical care and to get them some food. And depending on who you listen to, I think about 35,000 children have died already. I mean, they're dying by the thousands on a daily basis. And, you know, they arrive at these camps, mostly in Kenya, and most of the kids are thoroughly malnourished because they haven't been fed properly in days. Sometimes the parents are walking for a month to get to these camps, ambushed on the way by bandits and stuff, taking everything they have. It's very sad to watch. And I couldn't help but think about how sometimes as Christians, we're spiritually malnourished. Because we're not into the Word. Now, praise God, you know, I will continue to preach every week. The elders and I are committed to us really getting into the Bible in this church. And not just getting into it, but practicing it on a daily basis. Okay? We've been charged by God to teach the whole will of God. Because one day, as teachers and preachers, we're going to be held, believe it or not, to a higher standard. And that's why we take this book very seriously. But I say that to say, you cannot depend on the Sunday morning class or the Sunday morning sermon and the midweek lesson. That cannot be your nourishment all week long. I mean, if anything, you'll be feeding just twice a week. Okay? Now, I can tell you, if I eat only twice a week, there's no way I'll be looking like this. Okay? It's not possible. Okay? If you ate only twice a week, you would not be looking the way you look right now. Are you with me? It's the same thing, spiritually speaking. That is very important that we spend time on our own. That we get into the Word. Amen? Amen. That, I mean, praise God for the 21st century. You know, these days, if you're sick or you're out of town or, you know, you miss one lesson, you know, these brothers do a fantastic job every week. You know, they record the stuff and boom, they put it on the website. You can go over there and read it. Not read. You can go over there and listen to the lesson so you don't miss anything. Are you with me? I've said it before and I'll say it again. I get very concerned when I see us coming to church and we don't have a Bible or we don't have a notebook to write with, because you're not retaining anything. Okay? Scientists tell us that you remember it better if you write it down. Okay? You know, on Sunday, last Sunday, I taught some of your kids, the teens, and the campus students, about academic excellence. Some of them came into the room without notebooks. Without pens. Okay? And I think, you need to examine yourself. I mean, those are your kids. They didn't drive to church by themselves. You gotta pay attention to these things. That our kids just don't come to church and they don't have a Bible, they don't have a notebook, they don't have nothing to write with. It shouldn't be that way. But I believe that as the adults, we need to set the example. You know, it's hard to tell your son, hey, where's your notebook when you have yours? Are you with me? You know, it's very, very important because kids simply imitate what they see us doing or not doing. Amen? You know, if your son or daughter does not have a Bible and they're middle school, you need to get them one. Go to the bookstore. Oh, Richard, it's going to cost money. Yes. It's an investment in their eternity. Get them their own Bible. You know, these days, you know, you can go into a bookstore and they'll even put your name on it. $5, that's all it is. Do you know what that does to a kid when they have their own Bible with their name on it? I didn't get my own Bible with my name on it until I was 25. And I remember my reaction when I got one. I was like, whoa! This person took the time to put my name on this thing. Amen? But it needs to start with us. Amen? So I'm appealing to you. Go get your kids a Bible that they can understand and read. And put your name on it. Okay? It's $5. You say, I don't have $5. Come ask me, I'll give it to you. Okay? It's only $5 to put their name on it. All right? These days, you can get an English Standard Version, which is a great translation, by the way, for $10 from the Christian bookstore on 124. They're now $10 each. There are times I just go in there, I just buy me a ton. As I meet people, as I'm reaching out to them, I just give it to them. Because most people, they have a King James Version. I say, you know what? With all the keepers and the thou and the they, you're going to get lost here. Take this one. Amen? Very, very important. Let's not be walking around spiritually malnourished. It shouldn't be. 1 Peter chapter 2. I mean, if you think about it, in terms of what all these guys went through, for us to have this book now, if for some reason they could come back and see how our attitude is towards the Bible, would they feel like, you know what, man, we died for nothing? Or would the attitude be, oh, this is so fantastic. People are reading this stuff. They're putting it into practice. 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 2. It says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Amen? You know, a lot of us mothers, when we had our babies, you know, we breastfed them for the first several months of their lives. Okay? Now, when that baby cries, and it's amazing, when that baby cries because they're hungry, the cry was different from when they're wet. Okay, you mothers know that. Even the fathers, you know, eventually I think she's hungry. And it was amazing because, you know, when babies want to eat, they want to eat. Okay? They don't care what time of night it is. They don't care how tired you are. It's like, okay, you got to make it happen. You're going to pump that milk. You know, they're not concerned that you're sitting in church or you're at the airport. It's like, I'm hungry. I need some milk. And so you're going to, you know, be in the back somewhere, and you're going to feed them. Amen? He says, as Christians, you and I need to crave pure spiritual milk. We need to crave the Word of God. Amen? Very, very important. In Psalm 119, verse 18, a scripture that we all know, it simply says, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. That as you and I, before you start reading, before you start studying, even as you're reading, be praying that God will open up your eyes. He always answers. I tell that God all the time. Father, show me something new. Show me something I've never seen before. Lord, I want to get excited. Show me something. And he always does. It's like, wait a second. Who stuck that word in there? I never saw that all this time. Wow, that changes everything. It's amazing. Amen? But let's make sure that we're praying as we're reading. All of us should be able to say, you know what? The Bible is my favorite book. He said, I don't like reading. Well, that's the first attitude you got to change. Because this is one book that you and I need to be reading. Amen? You know, it's amazing to me. Every once in a while, you see, you know, these books, they come out and people go line up in the middle of the night. Go line up for days to get, oh, I got my own copy. I don't know. Okay, and this is not a knock on Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings or, you know, all those guys. I never read any of those books. I've never read them. And I'm not going to. You know why? Because I'm not interested in any of that stuff. I'm really not. I'm not saying it's wrong to read them. But I'm really not interested. It's like, I don't have enough time to look at this. Let alone something like that. Are you with me? That's the reason I don't get into it. Again, you know, they write the books and then they make movies out of them. I haven't seen those movies either. It's like, okay, so a guy is flying through the air with a broom. It's like, please, I got stuff to do, man. I that's just the way I look at some of this stuff. I'm being serious with you. Oh, Mordor and, you know, battle for this, like, oh, really? That stuff doesn't excite me. It just doesn't. I don't have the time. Because you know what? This is my final examination. If anything, I want to take that time to look at what this is talking about. Because they don't hand out diplomas for reading Harry Potter. I'm sorry. But you and I are going to get a diploma for reading and obeying this. It's going to determine whether we spend eternity with God or not. Amen? I said something similar to our teens and our campus students on Sunday. I said, turn the TV off. Get away from the video games. They don't have our diplomas for watching CSI. I'm sorry. Nobody's going to give you a diploma for watching Cartoon Network. You need to get into your books. Amen? But again, it starts from the home. The church cannot do it for you. We fathers and mothers and parents, we've got to do it in our own household. Amen? It's very, very important. It is the Bible that gave us new life. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 talks about. This book gave us new life. Not only that, abundant life. John 10:10. We got to stay in it. Satan is trying to get you out of the kingdom of God. Satan is trying to get you to fall out of love with God. Okay? Just like falling in love with somebody and staying in love with somebody. The more time you get to know them, the more time you spend together, the more in love you're going to be. It's not rocket science. It's the same thing with God. If not, your love for God is going to grow cold. It's about getting into the Word. Amen? Very, very important. It's amazing how this book guides us through life. You know, we look at, especially when, a lot of times when we're young, and compared to the people in the scriptures, we are really young. You look at people like Joseph. You look at his life. You look at Daniel. There's so many lessons to learn. Shadrach, Meshach, and a pretty bad Negro. Timothy. I mean, you look at the Council of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Why are you guys all? It's in the Bible. See, that's the way I read that. The Bible allows us to avoid all kinds of pitfalls in life. Immorality, materialism, greed. It helps us to make the right and good choices in terms of family, who we marry, our friends. When we stumble, God forgives us. I mean, this book is an incredible book. As we get older, you know, you look at the lives of people like Moses and Joshua and Caleb and like, whoa! Look at these guys in terms of their age and how passionate they still were for God. That gives me hope. That gives me courage. That gets me excited. Are you with me? You see, the Bible is our guide. And as a result of it, you and I can face the future with confidence. I mean, it's amazing right now. People are losing their minds. Oh, our economy. I mean, depending on what day it is, it's like the stock market goes up, gains 500 points, and then next day comes and loses 400. How's that possible? It's just like up, down, up, down. I mean, if you're putting your trust in this world and in your 401k, I got news for you. Oh, we need more jobs in America. Yeah, I'm not denying that. But let me tell you something. This market is not reacting just to what's going on in America. It's reacting to what's going on in the entire world. You know, markets in Greece or in Italy or in Europe, you know, we feel the effects over here. The same thing in the Far East. It's all connected. Amen? But all I'm saying is, this book gives us hope. That, you know what? God will always be there for me. That I will never go begging for bread. That's the Bible promises me that. As a righteous person. I'm not saying we shouldn't save. And invest in the stock market. Okay? But don't come talk to me about that. I'm not a stockbroker. I'm going to direct you to somebody else. If that's what you want to do. But all I'm saying is, our hope needs to be in this. Amen? Amen? I have no idea what's going to happen 20 years from now. I mean, you and I read about the Great Depression. We just came out of a major recession. I have no idea what's going to happen next week, or next month, or next year. But my hope is not in this world. My hope is in this book. This is what gets me out of bed in the morning. Are you with me? And God promises you and I that when we put Him first, He will take care of all these things for us. Very, very important. John 15, Jesus talks about how if you and I remain in the vine, we will bear much fruit. He says, apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. We got to remain in the vine. He said, I am the true vine. And you and I are the branches. Amen? Let's make sure that we remain in the vine. Look in Psalm chapter 1. The very first psalm. We're almost done. Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Verse 2, watch this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Amen? Amen. You see, it all goes back to our connection with God. Okay? It's got nothing to do with money. I said it before and I'll say it again. Go look up the word prosperity in the NIV. Almost all the references are in the Old Testament. And it always has to do with obedience to God. It always has to do with walking with God. It's got nothing to do with money. Are you with me? He says, whatever you do, you will prosper. It's like you're like a tree planted by streams of water. That's always green. Mike Tolliver's son just started college in Colorado. And he wrote on his Facebook page, I'm so excited to be here. Look at all this green. Why? Because in Texas, where he's from, he's all brown. He's loving it. You see, when we're close to God, when we're connected to God, when we're in God's word, it's like you're green all the time. You don't turn brown because of, you know, there's lack of water, but you're green all the time. And the Bible promises that whatever you do, you will prosper. Obviously, it says not so with the wicked. Again, who's the wicked? The context is talking about people who are not abiding in the word. So we've got to make sure that we're abiding in the word. Amen? Amen? Very, very important. I want us to look at a couple of Bible quotes from a couple of people. Mark Twain once said, most people are bothered by those passages of scripture they do not understand. But the passages that bother me are those I do understand. See, it's not just important, it's not just enough to read it. It's the question is the ones that we're reading and we understand, what are we doing about it? R.C. Sproul said, here then is the real problem of our negligence. We fail in our duty to study God's word, not so much because it is difficult to understand, not so much because it is dull and boring, but because it is work. Our problem is not a lack of intelligence or lack of passion. Our problem is that we are lazy. Okay? It shouldn't be that way. Remember that one day we're going to stand before God. Let's remember that many men and women died for this. And they were considered heretics by the religious establishment of their time. And they went through it so that you and I could have God's word at our disposal. I thank God for the printing press. I thank God for a lot of these guys that we'll probably never know all of them. So that you and I cannot have this book today. And we can read it and practice it freely. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24, and this is where we'll end. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. That's Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Anthony, could you please come forward and lead us in a closing prayer? And let's have a great time of fellowship. On Sunday, we'll continue with the documentary and finish it up. God bless you all.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that you've given us an opportunity to be able to be here tonight. And God, we thank you so much that you've given us the opportunity to be able to have intimate time with your word. And God, I know that the hectic days of our lives as we continue to go out and do the things that we do, go to our jobs, our workplaces, and all of those places, they pull against everything that goes on a day-to-day basis, then it causes us to waver and stumble and fall. But if we read and we study, it's all there. And if we read and we study and continue to do those things, we will be prepared no matter what situations are going on in our lives. We will be prepared. And Father, I pray that tonight has been just so amazing, so important for us as individuals, so important for us collectively as a church. And God, let us go away from this place and understand that the most important thing that we can do on a day-to-day basis is meditate on your word day and night and wait in eager expectation to see what you are going to do, what marvelous things you're going to continue to do for us as we continue to walk by faith and not by sight. We love you so much. We thank you so much for Jesus. He gave his life to give us life. And God, I pray that we live our lives to the full. God, we love you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are